We are up everywhere.
Let's do it.
And let's do it, yo. Five.
Do it.
Four, three, two, one. Fire away. Delay there, folks, but I know you've anxiously been awaiting the third installment to Windows Crash Radio. Gentlemen, welcome.
Yes, a little bit of a problem with our IIS server. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Quick reboot, fix you right up, you know?
Yeah. You know, I did a service pack, the Windows XP service pack 3 today on the server. I'm just waiting to get over on the Vista, but I haven't had the money to upgrade the server yet. So,
it's good stuff, man.
Speaking of service packs, the service pack 1 for Vista and service pack 3 for Windows, that has some really exciting times. You know, and I was considering, and I don't know if we really should think about changing the name of Windows Crash Radio, because let's face it, with Vista and service pack 3 of XP, it just doesn't crash that much anymore.
It's a beautiful thing.
And when it does crash, it's in 3D. Because Arrow
the circle
is the
has
shizzle.
Finally come to a close, guys, you know. I remember when we started talking about all our cool Windows installs way back, you know, Windows 3.11, you know, with the networking support and getting all excited and stuff. And now we have, we have this wonderful operating system, Vista, which, you know, it gets a lot of bad press, but it's really, really cool. And, I find it hard to believe that you can get much better than this, you know. Have we reached the pinnacle? What do you think?
I don't know, man. With Windows Home Server, those other operating systems can't hold a candle to us, man.
I'll tell you.
That's true.
I just wanted to mention real quick that I actually tried 2008 server the other day, and I set it up as a desktop, and boy, oh boy, that is awesome. I mean, it's a little clunky compared to Vista, but holy moly is it fast, you know? I highly advocate, you know, giving it a try and see what you think.
Awesome, and I'm going to check it out when I get a chance.
Did you run this on did you install it straight to the workstation, or did you do it in a virtual machine?
Straight to the workstation.
And it was I figured,
what's that?
Was it all you thought it would be?
Oh, it was awesome. It was orgasmic almost. I mean, I had a few extra spare minutes, and we know, it only takes a couple minutes now to get Windows installed, so... I had a few spare minutes, and I figured, since XP is working so good now and Vista's working so good now, this new 2008 rollout has got to be a wonderful thing. And I stuck it right on there. It installed. Had to be less than 20 minutes. And when it was up and running, it was so fast. It was it was a wonderful thing.
That's impressive.
Hey, Dan, you just got an EE PC, right, with Windows XP pre-installed, right?
Yeah, HE, Windows XP pre-installed. We're going to cover that in a little bit. But before we get too far off the topic of the new versions of Windows, and we're going to cover the UMPCs in a minute, Pat, because I know you're really excited about my review. But you guys, I've been hearing a lot of complaints from the usual suspects out there about Vista's success in market and, well, actually lack of success. They say Vista's a failure. I mean, I just don't see it, because all the people I know are happily running Vista. We run it at work. But, you know, there's this overwhelming sentiment that I see in the press constantly how Vista's
you know what it is? You know what it is? It's. Have you ever heard that those Linux guys, you know, they always have this term, like, it's called FUD, that they use all the time, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And they're just lambasting Vista all over the internet and saying that, you know, it doesn't run on real hardware and stuff like that. Well, you know, of course they have problems running it. Look at what they're running, some kind of rinky-dink backroom develop OS on a 386 in their basement or something like that. Well, no kid, you can't get a modern, sleek, and beautiful operating system to run on that kind of cheese hardware, you know?
I agree with you. I mean, this is 2008. Run an operating system for 2008.
Get with the program. Buy some RAM, for crying out loud, you know?
I mean, look at it this
way.
Man. I mean, you're not wasting money on an Apple. Now, that's overpriced crap.
Mm.
You know, that's just flash. With you know, a system running Vista, you're getting a workhorse computer. You know there's quality there. And that's Microsoft's philosophy, I think. They do not want to sacrifice the quality for the quantity.
That's it.
You know, the people are always saying how great Apple is and how wonderful it is. And if you look at Apple, their systems are comparable to, you know, the latest generation Dells and HPs, except they cost a little more. They got a little more, like, artistic pizzazz, and they just drain your pocket. Nobody complains about not being able to run OS X on a low-end system.
See, but that's all just yuppie stuff, right? There's, you know, if you're a yuppie, you run Mac OS. If you're a, you know, if you're some little cracker kitty, you know, that's 12 years old, you run that Linux stuff on your 386 in the basement, you know. But if you really have to get some work done and be productive during your day and, you know, be able to enjoy your media content and stuff at night and enjoy your computer, you really have to, you know, consider going to Vista. You know, or at least XP, right? At least.
True, very true.
I mean,
true.
How do you play any good games if you don't? You know what I mean?
Well, I don't understand how anybody gets any of their stuff done on some of those lower-end systems, you know. Because the newest version of Office is just the 2008. It's just out of this world.
It's rocking, yeah.
And, I, you know, personally, I bought a brand-new system, not just to run Vista, but to run the new version of Office, because it's just light years ahead of everything else that's available out there.
Oh, and the best part is with Office, you know, Microsoft is once again becoming the industry standard and helping everybody else develop, you know, a standard XML format for their documents and stuff like that. So, you know, we're just, you know, mountains ahead of the competition kind of thing. And it's just really cool to see all of that kind of stuff develop, you know, and be right in at the ground level.
And you know what else is really important? We can finally go to all the people out there in the world and say, look, the Office Open XML is an open standard. It is a standard that everybody can use now. You don't have to use any of these second-rate standards. What was that other one? OPF? OP file system or something?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
The Opium document
format? There's something else?
I don't know. Somebody was was bitching on this one forum and said, we already have a standard. And I said, yeah, it's called
Doc. Oh, it's those, you know, it's those script kiddies, and they're like writing, you know, rich text font files or something. So, you know.
You know what I think it is? This is what this, you can mark Dan down as saying this. This is a conspiracy by the European Union to subjugate the economy of the United States. Microsoft is an all-American, 100% all-American company, and the Europeans are pissed that they cannot produce software comparable to Microsoft's. Therefore, they are going to do everything they can and throw up all these barriers to impose upon Microsoft's ability to sell their... And this is the thing. Their government is not listening to the businesses, not listening to the people who want the Microsoft Office products, because that's the standard. So they
there you have it. And they
throw up these barriers because they want more money to fuel own little agendas.
Microsoft itself.
Goddamn socialists over there,
yeah,
man.
Microsoft itself is just standing, you know, waving the flag for democracy in the rest of the world, and we just have to catch them up. Right?
Yeah, you're right. It is disgusting. And that same pollution is spreading to other countries. And South America, South Africa. You know, before we know it, Al-Qaeda is going to be levying attacks on Microsoft products and complaining that, oh, you know, we want a standard format that our own terroristic Word document program can run.
Right.
Al-Qaeda office wants to have their format as the standard. And it makes me sick.
It's a horrible thing.
It should make you sick too, Pat.
I don't know what it is with these Europeans, man. They got their goddamn cheese and their frickin' wine and their stinky feet. And they hate Microsoft. I don't know what their problem is. You know, Microsoft is just a company that has our best interests. They're just looking to do the best thing for me and you, for mom and dad.
But it's our free market. It's the free market thing, you know. We're just steamrolling over, you know, over all these piddly little things that everybody else has going on just because we're, you know, we in America and Microsoft are in the business of innovation, you know. And
Microsoft equals freedom. It really does.
What we can do, and we can show the world using Microsoft products nobody else can touch, you know, and they're just jealous. That's all there is to it.
So they spread FUD.
Sure.
And they you know, it's just, it sickens me. It's a shame.
Sure, and you should see these guys. You know, I've watched videos on YouTube where they have these FUD people from the Linux and the BFD stuff. And there's this one BFD guy, his name was Richard Stillman or something like that. I saw him, the man was dressed in a muumuu. I mean, come on.
What a filthy hippie, man.
Have some respect, right? A muumuu and a scraggly beard, looked like he didn't take a shower for a month or something like that. And this is the icon of the BFD movement.
So what was he doing on? What was he doing?
He was talking about. He has this anti-freedom campaign that he's doing, and he does not want anybody to be able to use Microsoft products if they want to be able to use them.
So was he giving a speech?
It was amazing. I should look up the video and see if I can find it for you, because you just wouldn't believe the things that these people say. They're insane.
So he was given a speech. Was he given a speech?
Like picking at himself or something. And talking at this college, you know, where all the freaky little BFD kids hang out. And the little script kiddies and stuff like that. And it's just amazing. You know, it's like a terrorist movement, you know. They're like terror cells springing up with this BFD stuff.
So he was at a college, given a speech, in a muumuu, right?
In a muumuu, yeah.
Halfway through did they have to change his diaper halfway through the speech or something?
I couldn't watch it that long. You know, I just got disgusted.
So, what, he is the founder of BFD?
Yeah, he's some kind of big BFD guy, and he's like one of their spokesmen. Can you imagine having a spokesman like that? You know?
Hey guys, I just want to let you know, I just re-upped my Visual Studio Professional subscription for $2,500.
That's awesome.
So I'm good to go for another.
Such a deal.
Yeah, I did
you
actually.
Should,
I'm good to go for another 12 months.
Dude, you should.
You know, it's a good feeling being able to renew my subscription.
It is. It's important that you do that because you get quality from the get-go. You know, in fact, sometimes I will get discount offers, but I will turn them down because, you know, it's quality software that I want to support, and I'll willingly pay full price.
Well, at $2,500, man, that is a bargain, man, because for
$2,500,
you cannot get a better set of tools from anybody for less than that price.
Hey, you know what? You were talking a few minutes ago about the BFD founder, Richard Stoneman. Who was the Linux founder? Was that Theo Huxtable or something? No, Theo the Rat? Is that what they call him, Theo the Rat?
The Rat. I think I heard something like that. Must be
the founder
funny
of
nicknames, yeah.
Ubuntu?
Something like that. Is that how you say that? You know, they come up with all these new Linuxes, and they put all these crazy-ass names on there. It's, you know, just say Windows, right? It's so much easier. Everybody can say Windows. What are you doing with the whatever the hell it is and the... You know what are the other ones that the Red Cap? What the hell is that stuff? I mean, come on.
Can you clarify something for me? Because like all along we've had like Windows 3.1, Windows NT, Windows XP, Windows 95, Windows Millennium, Windows 2000. Windows Millennium got a raw deal, I think. Windows, and we have all these versions of Windows. But then you have this Linux that came out. That Theo the Rat produced about, what, 10 years ago? And then it was called Linux, and then it was called the Red Hat, and then it was called Corel or Caldera. And it really excelled when it was Caldera and SCO was running it. And then they sold it back to Red Hat again? Or, no, they sold it to SUSE. And then Novell bought SUSE, and then it became Ubuntu, right? Why can't they just call it Linux?
I don't know. The only Linux I'm familiar with is there's a Microsoft partner called Novell, and they sent us some licenses to try out their SLED product. You know, that's the only Linux I'm familiar with because, you know, they're a Microsoft partner.
Oh, you just remember the sled thing because it's like hooker in some other language, right, or something like that.
Well, I'll tell you what. Novell died for me back when Windows NT first came out and NT4. There's no reason to run Novell. Novell is just, they're grasping a straw. I don't think they're going to be around in another year or two. And, you know, who knows, in another year or two, what are they going to call it? Mandrake or something. I don't know. What other animal could they name this Linux off of?
You never know.
Guys, we're having a great conversation, but I just wanted to jump in with a word from our sponsor. I just wanted to mention them.
Of course. You know, we got to pay the bill somehow.
Yep. Our first sponsor is Tits Up Software. When you need help with Vista or your XP machine when it goes berserk, does it seem like your PC has given up the ghost? Don't fear. Tits Up will come to the rescue. And another one of our sponsors is SpinWrong. Yes, you need to constantly defrag your hard drive, but sometimes we're just too busy to do it. SpinWrong will untangle the file system and corruption mess for you in as little as 6 hours. All that for $99.
You know what? That's true. And I've used that before, too. That's good
SpinWrong?
Stuff.
I love SpinWrong.
That's awesome stuff, man.
That has saved my bacon on a number of occasions.
Mm-hmm.
And our last sponsor is Inaudible. If you want an audiobook full of DRM and read to you in a condescending and snarky voice, then Inaudible is for you. The audiobook will even self-destruct within 24 hours of renting. And if that doesn't speak of technology, I don't know what is, but does, man.
That it's amazing.
So,
thanks, that stuff.
Thank you to all our sponsors. They do fantastic work.
Thank you very
work.
Much.
And, you know, all this stuff runs great on Vista, and Inaudible is just, you know, you pull it down, you can play it through Windows Media Player 10. It runs perfectly. You can drop it onto your Zune, and for those of you who've gone to the dark side and run an iPod, yeah, you can even drop it in there under onto your iPod through iTunes, which we all know runs better. You know, it's amazing that Apple can make a product that runs better on Vista than it does on, you know, their latest version. What is it?
You know what it is? It's
Spotify
because
Apple
that's a software. It's because it's a software product, and I heard that those Apple guys, they run the BFD under all their stuff, right? That OS X junk, that runs the BFD underneath it, okay?
Stillman must be really happy.
He probably is. Stillman's got a, he's got his fingers in that one, too, right? His little greasy little nubs. So they're running the BFD under there, and if you're running that BFD stuff, you know, that little kiddie operating system, you got to be careful because that stuff doesn't work. You know, everybody says it. That stuff just doesn't work well. And when you take the software product and they engineered it for Windows, well, you have this monstrously and wonderful, robust platform to run it on then. So, you know, it makes everything stable, and plus we have the user base, right? So so they're really working hard on keeping that going, and, you know, that's really what it is. That was a very smart marketing move for Apple, I think.
Well, you know, they know that they can't compete, you know, head-to-head with the lower high-quality cost, you know, the quality and the cost of Microsoft on Intel hardware. It just beats the hell out of, you know, OS X. And
yeah, well, even the BFD guys want to make some money too somewhere, right? So.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm sure Stillman is all about the money.
Oh yeah.
I mean, come on, look, he saw it when Apple came a knocking. I bet you he started skipping up, jumping up and down, and said, "This is my big chance."
Oh yeah.
You know, it still does not compare. You know, do I recall, if I'm not mistaken, didn't BFD back in the day take the Microsoft Windows TCP stack, and because Windows was using, you know, had coded it to the TCP standards, and they actually had the source code out there for people to look, they took the source code of Windows NT and incorporated it into the BFD?
That's what I heard.
Up until then, they just could not get their networking just working with any other. So it was just.
Well, I mean,
it only
think
worked
about that for a minute, right?
This, on the BFD.
This Linux junk, right? The BFD Linux stuff, that didn't happen until what? Like 2000 or something? 2002?
Something
when they
like
started
that.
Coming up with the good Linux stuff. So before that, you know. Before that, all the good TCP stacks and networking were on Windows, right? Everybody's using Windows. Windows is where it's at. Windows was working well. So where do you think that they got it from? You know what I mean? And it was right around that time, too, that I remember in the news that they were talking about some developers had put Microsoft source code available online and stuff like that. So you know that's where it ended up, right?
Probably.
You know, they
those
finally,
rat bastards.
That's right. The rat boys with Theo and everything, and the
you know what
and
me
this
off,
Stillman
man?
BFD guy started ripping us off.
What pisses me off is everybody ripping off Arrow, man. You got Mac ripping off Arrow. You got the Linux ripping off Arrow. Well, these people should come up with their own original ideas, man. I don't know what their problem is.
Well, you know what? I was looking at some YouTube videos of the Linux running the what do they call it, Barrel, which is, you know, Arrow, Barrel. They could have been a little more creative on the name.
Seriously, man, if that ain't a ripoff, I don't know what is.
And it's like a one-to-one copy. And they were bragging, oh, we were first to market. Well, that's because you just dump shit out there, you know,
right.
And you don't care who uses it. You don't go through any quality testing. You don't go through quality development, standard practices for programming. You just dump your virus-ridden shit onto the market. Somebody is looking good.
It's that whole free software movement thing that they got going on. It's four 13-year-olds in a basement somewhere. Come on. How can you possibly get quality software out of something like that?
It doesn't make sense.
It just doesn't make how can someone have a window and it's not Microsoft?
Right. Now there's a licensing thing right there, you know, that we I'm sure that we can use that in the future. But I just don't understand how you could possibly get any working quality software, and why would you ever invest any money from your business in something that came from, like I said, a gang of 12-year-olds, as opposed to, you know, the fine development team that we have working for us. I just don't understand.
Exactly. If you're going to release a new OS, man, you have to take 7 years to make sure everything is perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I just get this picture of a bunch of, 13-year-olds in their, like, computer programming class at school on their older systems, just like, holy,
yeah,
I'm
hey, let's write
Windows
an operating
spin,
system today, right?
You know, trying to reinvent Notepad.
Yeah.
In a hacked up version of Windows.
And then there's that toga wearing Stillman dude, right? The BFD guy cheering him on.
It's like, you go. Maybe one day Apple will buy your product too.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's funny. Somebody changed that man's diaper. Well, you know what? Pat, you had wanted to ask me about my new
your HCEPC, right?
Yeah. You know, before I get into that, I want to get your guys' opinion on something. We're seeing a rise of what they're calling UMPCs, ultra mobile PCs. And I have a little bit of a concern, so hear me out. I mean, they look cool and they are neat, but I really think, you know, I'm concerned that this might be a plot by the hardware manufacturers and the free source movement, the Linuxes and the BFDs, to sabotage the growth of Vista. Because let's face it, they're out there, they're taking their outdated surplus of hardware that they have back in their warehouse, they're throwing these little systems, underpowered systems together, and chucking them out on the market at these, you know, at low prices. That's what they are, crap in a sense. And
right.
People are, they're bitching because you can't run Vista on it, because Vista is made for today's computers, not 1998 computers. And that's essentially what these machines are. You know, they're like somebody took a 486 and attached a Palm Pilot screen to it. And, you know, they're forcing Microsoft to have to backpedal on some of their stuff. And they're making it look like, people want XP to stick around a little bit longer. But that's not the case. It's not that people want XP. It's that, well, they're trying to dump these low-end systems on the market using yesterday's technology and yesterday's hardware, which, of course, isn't going to run Vista. So Microsoft has said, okay, if you guys want to play this game, we know where the real power is, but we'll pacify you. Go ahead. You can put XP on it because, let's face it, you're going to need a real operating system to run on here. Something
absolutely
decent. So I do think this is a plot by the hardware manufacturers, and probably fueled by the European Union, to try and eat into Microsoft's market and to make the company look bad.
Hang on just a second, Dan. Just keep talking. I want to step away from the phone for just a moment. I'm listening, though. I want to grab another Perrier.
Okay, no problem. And you know what? That's probably a good thing to point out. It is very good idea to use older versions of Windows to resurrect your older hardware. You know, systems from 2000 to 2006, 2007 are perfect for XP. Something for around 98 to, you know, in that period, perfect Windows 2000. You know, there's a lot of overlap in between what can run 2000 well and what can run XP well. But if you're getting down there to an older 486 to an early Pentium, you know, Windows 98, Windows Millennium should work pretty well. Even NT, and I think you could pull down Windows 2000 and use it for free through Microsoft's, I forget what the name of their system, their program is to be able to do that, but, you know, that is a perfect way to resurrect your system. And Pat, aren't you writing an article or something for one of the magazines on that?
Yeah, that's one thing I'm working on. I'm also going to do a write-up on Windows MCE.
Yes. So,
because if you're going to have a home theater computer system, it's got to run Windows. Otherwise, it's not a real system.
Right.
Are you running Windows MCE, right?
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Because I think that's the next system I'm going to buy. I figure, you know, with the income tax return and that bonus check that we're getting and a couple of paychecks that I could probably scrape together. What do I need for something decent? $3,000 at least?
You could actually, HP has a really nice Windows MCE edition system for like $2,000. And it's got everything you need. Yeah, it's got all the
Wow, that's awesome. That's cheap.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice.
You know what? I think I'm going to, if you can send me the link to that, I think you might have sold me on there.
Absolutely, man.
That is awesome. Because that's important. So you give Windows MCE two thumbs up. Now, that's running under Vista, right?
Actually, it's XP. I'm sorry.
Have you looked at the Vista Media Edition or the Vista Ultimate Edition for doing the same thing?
Not yet. I've been hearing good things about it, though, so.
That's cool. Now, what about your Xbox 360? Are you able to stream to that with your MCE?
I think you're asking the wrong person about gaming, Dan. I'm not really a big gaming person, but if you are a gaming, the Xbox 360 is definitely the right platform for you. I know.
Don't you have an Xbox 360? I thought you got one as a media center front end.
No, I haven't done that, no.
Maybe it was Alan who was talking about it.
I think it was Alan who did that. Yeah, he's got an Xbox 360.
All right. Well, we'll have to hit him up with that when he gets back from the. He's down there at Windows Best Practices seminar.
Something like that.
How come you guys didn't go to that? Link, how come you didn't go to that? That's like out in Philadelphia.
Well, because I knew that. You know, this was going to be an important show, and I can't stop myself from being able to spread the words of Windows wisdom on the show when I have the opportunity, you know? Microsoft empowers me like that, and I have to do it.
The power of Bill compels you.
Yeah.
Well, actually, he's not in charge anymore.
The power of Ballmer.
Power of Ballmer compels you.
That's right.
The power of Ballmer compels you. The power of Ballmer compels you. The power of Ballmer compels you.
Yep.
Next topic, really important, software reviews. We took a look at Windows Defender versus McAfee Security Suite versus Symantec Norton Antivirus versus AVG. Grisoff's AVG versus Clam AV. Guys.
And the winner is?
Well, do we want to announce the winner right away, or should we, you know, what was your opinion of these suites? I mean, did one stand out to you guys?
I'm old school, man. I'm Norton all the way.
See, I'm an SCP guy myself.
You're a what guy yourself?
SCP.
Oh, yeah. So what did you? How did you guys like Windows Defender?
I think it is a very, very good product. Everything you would expect from Microsoft.
Now, out of these products, of course, Windows Defender, McAfee Security Suite, Symantec Norton Security Suite, were all, you know, subscription services. Grisoft has a subscription service, but they also make a free version, AVG. And, of course, there's Clam AV, which is completely by the freeware company. Isn't that a freeware software, Clam AV? What were your guys' opinions, the subscription versus the freeware stuff?
See, now, I don't like the free stuff because there again, you're looking at, you know, you're looking at those bunch of BFD kiddies doing that stuff, and I don't trust them. You know what I mean? Like, anybody that's not charging money for that kind of a product, you kind of wonder what's going in there. You know, and maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Well,
but I prefer to have, you know, a little price on there that guarantees me some kind of back-end support and, you know, a bigger corporate entity, I think.
One of the things that concerned me about Clam AV and why out of all the systems, out of all the ones I reviewed, that got the lowest score, and I thought about giving it a 0, but I actually gave it a 5. And the reason why I gave it a 5 is because essentially it's this questionable software that makes use of the virus definition files and stuff that are put out by, I think was it McAfee or Symantec or one of the companies. It uses their definition. So on one hand, I want to fail it completely, but on the other, I don't want to diss the legitimate companies whose definitions and stuff that they use, because I think, you know, those definitions are key and core to what's important. And
yeah, but can you really
Clam
be
AV
sure?
To come by,
go ahead.
Well, for Clam AV to come and just steal those and run it on top of their system, I think is reprehensible on one hand,
right.
But on the other, you know, they recognize quality when they see it. So I can't completely knock their product because it's not theirs. It's actually the products that I think are superior. So I didn't want to give it I gave it like a mid-range 5 because while their software stinks, you know, it pales in light years in comparison to the definitions that they're using, which come from the big boys, the real legitimate security
right.
suites.
I don't know. I just always wondered, you know, can you really trust what they're doing? Even if they're using definition files from, you know, from decent companies, can you really trust what they're doing with them, you know? Is there some way they can use that and make some sort of malicious hack or something with the BFD kids on your box or, you know? And that kind of thing always rolls around in the back of my mind, and I just am much more comfortable going.
Well, see, I was really concerned about that, too. And, you know, of course I gave McAfee and Norton top scores of 10s. Windows Defender is coming up strong. I gave it an 8. With Grisoft's AVG, the subscription product, I gave an 8. And the free version, I gave a 6. But what concerns me is, you're right, if Clam AV is taking and reappropriating the virus definitions that these big companies are putting out, what's to say they're not doing something malicious with this stuff and releasing the viruses into the wild? So my thought was, well, they might be using one or two definitions, but I don't think they're using all of them. So I just I loaded up my Windows Defender. I then installed Norton's Antivirus and Security Suite, and then I installed Symantec's Norton Security Suite. I run all three at the same time. And, you know, that little task for the system tray down there is just loaded with these wonderful security icons. That, along with SpyBot and Spam Shield and my registry cleaner and registry tracker, and I got all these little, and I know by looking at all those icons down there that my system is secure, that if one virus slips through, one Clam AV virus slips through, that if Windows Defender doesn't get it, then either McAfee or Norton's going to pick it up, and I don't have to worry about anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's, if you are not running at least two of those applications, in my mind, you're an idiot. Because you got these hacks or script kiddies that are right in the Ubuntu's and the BFD's that are just, you know, right in these viruses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, now, what do you guys think? Do you think, I've heard some people say that they believe that there's a conspiracy by the security companies that they might actually be funding contributing to the creation and distribution of Trojans and viruses and worms to ensure that they remain in business. I mean, what do you guys think?
I think that is besmirching their good name.
I think it's just a conspiracy by these nutjob socialists that run BFD who don't want, you know, the people who work for these companies to put their kids through college, you know.
Well, I got a little theory about this, and hear me out. Now, it's quite possible there might be some legitimacy to that for two reasons. Number one, I mean, let's face it. You want these products to be tested, to be hardened. You don't just want them to just dump these products out there and play catch-up all the time. I mean, let's face it. Let's have them chuck some of this stuff out there. And you know that just because they've written it and they're reviewing their products, that, you know, they know what's going on. They're blocking it. They're making sure that it's stronger and secure and seeing how it evolves because their systems can already handle it. So they're putting it out there in the wild. So, you know, on one hand, they're helping them design better systems in the long run. You're already safe and secure if you're using their software. And three, if you're not using their software, chances are you're running an unlicensed copy of Windows to begin with. You're probably pirating and stealing, and you deserve to get hit with whatever you get hit with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're not paying the entrance fee, if you're not supporting the freaking American economy and an American company, you're probably one of those commie-loving, socialistic pigs over there in the European Union. You're probably a stillman running your BFDs.
That's right.
And you're no better than Al-Qaeda. I'm sorry.
That's right. Those little 12 and 13-year-old Ubuntu BFD kids. Yep. Those are the ones. I bet that's where all that stuff is coming from.
It's just, it sickens me. So, Pat, man, how about that article in PC World?
I don't know what their problem is, man. They're just making up crap, those guys.
It's, in case our listeners have not read it yet, PC World has an article called 18 Features Missing in Windows. And I'd like to call it, you know, 18 Pieces of Bullshit That Nobody Needs. I mean, I look over a lot of this stuff and I say, oh, expose. What the hell? I mean, really, if I don't know what applications are running on my computer at that time, then I'm a fucking idiot, is what I am.
Oh!
I know that. I know.
He dropped the F-bomb.
I apologize to you. It just burns me up to always being compared to Mac. Oh, expose. Big deal. Big freaking deal. Virtual workspaces. How could you actually want? I mean, why break your screen up into four pieces? We don't have four heads or four separate keyboards. We have one keyboard, one head, two pair of eyes, looking straight at one screen, need one desktop, one workspace. Well, I mean, what do you guys?
You know what? It's for the yuppie people on their Macintoshes, so that they can switch screens between, you know, pretending that they're working and playing their little, like, soccer mom games or whatever.
Probably, you know, I bet you that I would not doubt the fact that if you did a study of all the people who use virtual workspaces, and multiple screens like that, there's a higher proportion of people with ADHD, attention mm-hmm. deficit disorder. This kind of crap contributes to the degradation of the American society because kids cannot pay attention to more than one task at hand and be able to finish a task to completion without losing interest. It's worse than MTV.
Mm-hmm. 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 And, you know, what kills me, what kills me about this is you get the same argument from, like, the BFD guys and the Ubuntu guys. They have all these things running at the same time, and they try and tell you that all that shit's running at the same time. I mean, come on. Come on. Everybody knows. I mean, this is just, it's just, you know, good math, right? If you only have a certain number of processor ticks going on, if you're using them all in one application, you have them all working in that application. If you're spreading them, among 15 different applications, the first application doesn't get them all anymore and therefore runs slower. So why the hell would you want to do that? You know what I mean? Like why stretch yourself out so thin you got to have multiple desktops for your application when all you're really doing is just slowing your own productivity down, right?
I agree with you, man. I don't know about you guys.
I like having so many windows open that I kind of get lost sometimes in the whole thing of it, you know? I could just alt-tab all the way through all my opened apps, one after the other. You know, after 20 or 30, I'll eventually hit it.
You only have so many, you know.
20 or 30 tabs open in Internet Explorer 7?
Right. Actually, I'm running Internet Explorer 6. I have 20, 30 windows open.
When are you going to be running 7, man? Come on.
Get with the program.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try. I'll try it out, and on our next episode, I'll give a review of it.
All right, that's fair.
You're a little late, man. Maybe you could try some beta versions of Windows 8, Internet Explorer 8.
I do have a Microsoft Visual Studio license. I get everything now for my $2,500. I get everything I could possibly ever want.
Awesome. Well, you know what? Is there any other stuff that you guys would like to, you know, bring up this week, or should we start wrapping it up?
That's it for me.
Yep.
We'll talk next
time.
Yep, I said my piece, you know, it was a good show. Thanks, everybody, for coming on and listening about our favorite operating system.
Go IISS, man.
Yeah.
I want to make a few announcements that it's important, I think, that we help spread the Vista love and combat this negative publicity, unwarranted FUD that is showering the market and the liberal media these days. Terrorists of one, so to speak, attitude towards Windows Vista and spread the love. Encourage your family and friends to consider buying new systems to support the economy with their rebates, the income tax rebates, and the bonus that you're getting from the government. You guys over there in the European Union, let your representatives know that you want quality, you want standards, you want superior products, you want Vista, you want Microsoft. Let them know. It's very, very important. Coming up in June, we have the wonderful Windependence Project coming out, where we're going to be supporting the moving of an entire town to Windows Vista. Is real important. Microsoft has generously donated some licenses and has provided discounts to that town, and we're going to get that whole town up and running, Windows Vista. It's going to be a great experience, and we'll hopefully have live video feeds coming from there. So get your Windows Media Player 11 fired up and ready for that. And if you can come down and contribute, that's just great. I mean, I'm really looking forward to the Windependence 2008. I don't know about you guys, but it's going to be an event and a half.
Yep, and I just want to add something real quick. Dan said, you know, make sure and help support Microsoft by going out and use your, you know, use your economic stimulus package and you know, get a new system and enjoy Vista for what it really is. And I just want to also mention that it's so very important that you look around over everybody's shoulder and make sure that they're running legitimate copies of Microsoft, because we really need to support this company, right? We need to make sure that people are paying for quality software and keep that the standard. So if you do not, if you suspect that, you know, your business or your neighbor or, you know, even your one of your relatives is not running Microsoft, do everybody a favor and make sure you give a call to the Microsoft Anti-Piracy Hotline, and that's at 1-800-RU-LEGIT.
Awesome.
Yeah, get the facts, people. Get the facts.
Yep.
And the facts are
facts.
Windows, baby, the wow starts now.
Mm-hmm.
If I take anything away from here today, I just want to come away with saying the power of Balmer compels you.
That's
the
right.
The power of Balmer compels
you. Power of Balmer compels you.
And the power of Balmer will be compelling us all at Windependence 2008. We hope to see you there.
Independence.
I guess that's it. We're out, everybody, yes?
Peace. Yes, indeed.
All right, I'm going to play our outro music, and thank you very much. Peace out. The power of Balmer compels you.
Power of Balmer. Thanks for listening to our third episode of Windows Crash.
Tech Show! The Linux Lady Tech Show!
Let's get down to business.
The Linux Link Tech Show is on.
Is on.
Your link to GNU Linux and the latest technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Free software, free speech, open technology,
and open mic.
I love it.
Now, live from the Linux Link Tech Show studios, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up and take it away.
And there you have it.
How's your Perrier?
it's delicious.
Oh, that was special right there.
Gotta love it.
I couldn't keep mangling the names. I kept saying them appropriately, and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm just so used to saying them right. It was hard. That was hard.
That's hard to do, though, to crack off that many minutes of, that many minutes of completely off the
cuff. That went on way too long,
crap.
Man.
I wonder how many people that were actually listening to the recording.
They're going to turn it off. These guys are like crazy, man. They said it was a Linux show. What the hell is wrong with them?
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
horrible, horrible.
This is the the one time every year and a half or so where we just lose half of our listening audience.
Chase them all away.
One thing we talked about before, half-assed, was that PC World Magazine article where they say the 18 features Windows should have but doesn't.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, they go on and they mention some Linux stuff, but it seems a lot of the they seem to be really pushing the Mac, and I don't know if they realize it or not, but a lot of those features, probably all of them, have some equivalent in Linux, and they just
of course they do, because that's where all the innovation really happens. You know,
they just completely ignore it. You know.
Well, yeah, you're right. Like when I first looked at the article,
it's like a booger,
yeah.
Right? It's like a booger. If you ignore it, you're just hoping that it eventually will go away.
When I first looked at the article that you, when you sent it, I started reading it, and the first thing that they have listed on here is expose. And I'm like, wait a minute. I've seen expose, and I know that they have expose-like feature under Compass Fusion. And it's been there for a long time. I think it was even under Compass. And Barrel had that. And, you know, it's like, what? A lot of the stuff is, like, back to my Mac. For only $99 a year, you can get rsync.
You know what the sad part is, Dan? People
actually
spend that money.
Sure.
They just don't know.
Sure,
you know?
Because to them, that's innovation, right? To the rest of the world who actually uses computers, we've been doing that for years and years and years. But to them, that's you know, a fancy new doodad.
Right. VNC, wow.
All right. You mean I can connect to another computer? Wow.
Over the internet? I can't believe it.
It's amazing.
Well,
the things that, what will they come up with next year, right?
I don't know. I don't know. An application doc?
Right, yeah. Should be amazing.
No, this one frosts through my Pop-Tart. Automated screenshots.
Ooh.
On Mac. Here's it. Taking screenshots of Windows has never been as easy as it should be. Of course, they talk about hitting print screen, or what is it, control print screen, or alt print screen, or whatever the hell it is, and then it gives copy to the clipboard, and you have to paste it into an application. On the Mac, however, things are easier. When you press Command-Shift-3, an image of the entire screen view instantly saves to your desktop.
And that, my friends, is so helpful. I can't tell you the number of times that I use that per day.
On right. Mac?
Big deal, right?
But we have that. We've always had that in
right, yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, but they're making a big deal out of a feature that really nobody gives a shit about, right?
But they say it's available on Mac, and they totally ignore the fact that it's always been there. In fact, you can take snapshots of council sessions without requiring X.
My favorite is screen sharing.
Oh.
You can get livelook.net, show me screen for only $40 a month.
Oh, yeah, only... I saw that too, and I'm like, goodness gracious, why? I don't know. I guess the power of bombers not compelling somebody there. I don't get it. Ugh. Wow. But that was an interesting article. I mean, it's neat to go over to see what the other side is thinking these days. There has been an awful lot of Mac love and Vista hate in the presses these days. A lot of hating on the old LPC, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that project has freaking gone down the tubes, man. It's a shame, it really is. Because the basic idea behind it was a really noble cause, you know?
Uh-huh. And I hear a lot of complaints that you know, almost invariably, any time I see an article with comments about the OLPC, and more recently with them courting Microsoft and getting XP running on it, is someone invariably says in the comments, but, you know, let's give them a system that they're accustomed to, that they're used to using, that has a recognizable interface that's a standard throughout the world, and I just think that's such a bullshit. It frosts my Pop-Tart. Again, that's another thing. It annoys
me. And Dan has a frosty Pop-Tart, let me tell you what.
And a tasty tart, too. My Pop-Tart's been frosted after that last little bit we did, so... It's just complete wrongness. But it is. It's a shame, you know. And I look at the... the UMPCs that are coming out, and that Microsoft's hand's been kind of forced to keep XP alive so that they can actually muscle in on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is kind of a shame that people are so blinded by the fact that they or feel that the need to have such a familiar look of XP, so to speak, and, you know, be beholden to Microsoft's products, that they're willing to accept an outdated, bug-ridden operating system that is a security risk to run on these devices in favor of, you know, a more up-to-date operating system. Now, granted, the Asus EEPC comes with Xandros, and I would not consider that a current version of Linux by any standards, but it is a lot more versatility, I think, than getting Windows XP installed. I mean, you're talking about a device that's not a standard, you know, laptop or desktop system. You're not going to use it in the same ways. You're not going to be dropping down or trying to install all that, you know, Windows software, so to speak. It's kind of like, why would you want to when you buy the Xandros version? It comes with everything already. Everything
right.
that you would want.
Mm-hmm.
Talking out my ass. But speaking of that, I've heard some reviews of the N800, and it just people are going gaga over that, too. How soon until that's running?
The
like
N810, you mean?
Mobile. Yeah, N810. How soon until that's running, like, Windows Mobile or something?
I don't know. I think it'd probably be a while. That's the one really cool thing about Nokia right now, is they're really totally invested in keeping Linux running on their product. And I think a lot of the reason why is... they're starting to realize a lot of profit potential with this line of products because, you know, they're not paying the bucks to Microsoft to get their software on there. You know, this is stuff they can put on for nothing, right? Not to mention the fact that they have access to a monster-sized developer community that only makes their stuff better, and that doesn't cost them anything either. So, I would say that probably, and you know, other people have said that it's the trend now. The current trend is to go with Linux for embedded mobile devices, and I see it really happening.
Unless it's Apple.
Yeah, well, they have the BFD, you know.
Did you guys see that spoof video on the Apple Air that IBM put out with in regards to their new system?
No.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. The link's in our forum.
I'll have to check it out.
So, I mean, that was pretty funny. You go watch that if you get the chance. I'm talking to you specifically, Link. You failed us again.
Yeah.
You should have been like, yeah, I saw that. It was all that and a bag of chippies.
Red badge.
That's right. That's what I say.
Speaking of Rat Bastard, are you going to, like, run out with your economic stimulus package and purchase a 9-inch EPC?
No, I'm going to use that economic stimulus package to stimulate my way out of some bills.
That's about what I'm going to do, too.
So,
my economic stimulus is paying for freaking new tires on my car.
Woo-hoo.
But you're going to need them, man. You're driving, like, 60 miles a day or something?
Yeah, I could do 55 each way.
55 miles each way?
Yep.
Wow. That's 110 miles a day.
Yep.
Exxon loves you, baby.
I do get to work from home sometimes.
Dude, for the gas prices now, you might as well start taking a plane or a helicopter or some shit, you know?
Just a giant slingshot.
I'm working on that teleportation device.
Right.
That's you know what you ought to do is you ought to get a little cart and hook it to the back of Alan's Goldwing and just let him drive you to work.
There you go.
Going to get a sidecar. Thousand gold ones.
You know, if you could get him to put like a little satellite dish on there, so you can get like satellite-based internet access, you'd be rolling.
Yeah, baby.
Speaking of satellite, Pat, do you have satellite?
No, I currently have RCN cable.
Does Alan have
satellite? I've had satellite in the past.
So.
No, he's RCN too. He's RCN.
Somebody was asking me on a lot of Linux links today about using, they just got digital high HD satellite, and they were wondering how they could use Myth TV with that, and I said you might have more
just
information.
Just like you use TiVo, you need an IR blaster to change the channels. Standard definition's okay. Unfortunately, high definition is a problem with satellite right now. With
what
the
about
TV.
The WinTV PVR, the WinTV slash, what is it, Nexus?
I'm not sure. There are some high definition capture cards that might work with it. The best place to go look is on the MythTV mailing list, and also the NotMyth forums for hardware compatibility.
Yeah, the only thing I could pull up was mention that it was there was compatibility for it back in about a year ago. So I haven't really.
The problem is that the satellite companies are not required to have a working FireWire port on their boxes like the cable companies are. You see, if you have a cable company and you have an HD box, it has a FireWire port that has to work. It's a law that's been mandated by the FCC. So you can just get a FireWire cable, you know, as long as you have a FireWire card, and you can record your HD programs through FireWire. You don't even need a capture card.
Did you do that to the FireWire there for a little bit when you had?
I haven't done it. My Myth box is hooked up to my standard definition. I can't speak. Standard definition TV up in the family room. Eventually, I will be going HD with the MythBox. My current setup can do HD. It does up to 1080i. It has component out video, so it will do it. And it's pretty easy to change your video configuration with MythBuntu. It has that control panel. I'm sure you're familiar with it, Dan, now that you're playing with MythBuntu.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty easy to change your video resolution and everything. You can go in there and modify it. So it's a real nice and easy way to set up your video and your capture cards. There is some manual configuration that you have to do depending on, you know, what kind of a blaster you use and your change channel script. Anytime you use a blaster, either USB or serial port based, you're going to have a change channel script. Basically what it will do is it'll control the IR blaster to send out pulses. So that makes your cable box think that it's getting signals from your remote control from your cable box or your satellite box. So it varies.
Awesome.
Oh, it's phenomenal, man.
I like to sit there and browse the schedule listings to the web browser. I don't want to watch
you were talking about
that's on.
We were talking about it before the show. You could stream your recordings over the internet through the Myth web interface.
Yes, it works very well.
It's fantastic. The quality's good.
Now, you know what? I need to clarify that. I ran, you know, when you were talking about whether or not it had the export to Xvid by default, the NUV export.
Yeah, NUV export is a program
NUV export,
so that
right.
you see, most people when they use Myth TV, they have an MPEG-2 encoder card that'll record the shows to MPEG-2 in real time, and those files tend to be pretty big. They're like 2 gig per hour of recording.
Right.
So what you could do is you can re-encode those files to different video formats, XVID, DivX, MP4, so on. So there's an add-on program called NUV Export that lets you do that, and it relies heavily on FFmpeg. Mm-hmm. Now the old versions of FFmpeg on Ubuntu didn't have XVIT support in there by default. So what you had to do was remove the package FFmpeg and download the source and compile it yourself. But you said that the current version, it has XVIT support in there?
Yeah, I had no problems. I fired up NuvExport and converted a episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force to XVIT format, and then I streamed it through the web interface while I was at work, and it was a beautiful thing.
Awesome.
It was all that. Well, let me think here. When it was all said and done, the final file was 98 megs in size. So that was what?
Yeah. XVITs are nice, man. You get decent quality in small files.
Yeah, so, well, how much space did I save? If you're talking 2 gigs for an hour, so you're talking 1/4 of 2 gigs would be 500 megs. So that was, it converted about 1/5 the size of I guess, the standard. So, that is good. It's easier to stream 98 megs than it is to stream 500 megs.
This is true.
Worth of data. It's just such a fun thing.
It's awesome.
Introducing the kids to the old generation of arcade video games. Instead of having to go down to the storage unit and pull the cabinets out, we can just play them up here.
Lugging a 300-pound cabinet up the stairs?
Yeah, that's hard to do. We can just turn on the Myth TV and right there it is.
Yep, MAME is great, man.
I tried to get Myth Weather. When I try to look at it, it just seems to take forever. And I give up on that screen where it says, like, loading Myth Weather.
It is a little bit of a glitch, but it works for me anyway. It works. Well, one plugin that I've really gotten into is this Myth Stream. You go in there, and they have a whole bunch of, like, shoutcast audio and internet radio stations. Plus, there's a bunch of TV stations from all around the world that you could stream through Myth TV directly to your TV. It's awesome. I was watching some Spanish television programs. I was on an Italian channel. I was watching some German game show. It was pretty cool. Couldn't understand a word of German, but it was cool.
You know, I started looking at that, and I didn't see any of those. Hold on.
You got to go out and pull the stuff down. When you first go into the main menu there, there's like, I think, 4 different listings, like audio, shoutcast. What you got to do is you got to hit OK, and then what it'll do is it'll go up. No, not in setup, no. You know, it's not in setup. You go into midstream, and it's the first screen there.
Myth stream. Do you mean play online streams?
Yes.
Ah, yeah, okay.
There's a ton of TV shows. There's a ton of TV channels that you could stream off the internet. It's awesome.
Okay,
it's just a cool thing, you know?
Those.
Yeah, go through that, man. There's also a ton of audio stations in there, too, that you can listen to different music and stuff.
Country starts with Jay. For Japan. Oh, this was in Japan.
There you go. See what's streaming from Japan. Another cool feature is the movie times plugin. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't.
You can go in and you go in there and you put your zip code, and it'll go down and pull all the different movie listings for your area within, you know, a certain radius. I set mine at like 20-mile radius. And you could sort it by the movie title or by the movie theater, and you'll get all your movie times for that day. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah, I've tried that. I have that working, yeah. How do we get back?
Back? You got to get a remote, Dan.
Yeah, I do. Trying to figure out, because the keys change for every, like, application.
But you could set that up. I have my configuration files, so you let me know if you get that remote I recommended.
What's that, beer casting?
I haven't looked at that. I don't know what that is. I haven't looked at that one yet. I was also looking at some Dutch channels, and they had some like music videos and stuff and some concerts going on. It's pretty cool. I'm going to write a blog post, and I'm going to call it 10 Reasons Why MIT TV Kicks Apple TV's Ass.
You think?
Absolutely, man. It's not even close. How could you have
you
a device?
You have an Apple TV to compare it with.
I've looked at it.
He's buying one. Let's go no, along I'm not with gonna, the rest of the Apple line of products.
You know what I might buy an Apple TV box, guys, is when Apple TV is discontinued by Apple, and then the prices of secondhand Apple TV boxes are, like, dropping in eBay. I hear they make very nice high-definition MIT TV front ends. I mean, how could you have a device? How could you have a device that's supposed to be the heart of the home theater PC experience? Okay, and the damn thing doesn't even record TV programs, but you can go buy TV shows with DRM from iTunes, and you only have to pay like $250 for the entry unit and $300 something for the higher end one. If anything, they should be giving those things out for free. If that's all you can do is buy stuff from iTunes. Uh-oh. Dan is streaming some Japanese TV program, it sounds like.
Yeah. And then my wife starts howling over here, and I'm like, I thought something bad was happening.
It takes a little while to buffer up when you do the TV.
It took a couple seconds. I shouldn't be streaming that while we're trying to do a show.
Probably not a good idea, no, if you're streaming video from Japan, no.
I blame the wife.
If you want your bandwidth to hold up.
Dun, dun, dun. But I can play games.
What ROMs do you have, Dan?
1942, 43, 44, Alien Syndrome. A ton of the classic games, like Donkey Kong. I don't have Donkey Kong because that's illegal to have. That's very illegal
is it?
To have. Yeah, it is.
Whoops.
That is very hard to get, too. Can be. Most places will not offer that ROM available. So don't try and get Donkey Kong. It will get you in trouble. Kangaroo. Remember Kangaroo?
No.
You don't remember Kangaroo in the arcade?
No.
You don't recognize that?
No, not at all.
No, you were your little kangaroo, your baby kangaroo, your Joey gets caught, captured by are they dingoes or something? I don't know. And it was kind of like Popeye. No, they don't eat your babies. It was kind of like Popeye. Remember Popeye?
That I remember, yeah.
It was kind of like that, and you had to climb up the levels, and you had the ability to punch. I think you could jump, too. And you can jump, you can punch, jump and punch, and you can grab fruit, and monkeys would attack you and throw stuff at you. I guess they'd throw feces at you. Maybe not feces.
Bunch of baboons.
So you can do what I'm doing and get your butt kicked. But you can duck, you can jump, and you have to get up to the top to save. Yeah, it was monkeys. You can punch out the monkeys. You climb up, and you can punch the fruit that they throw at you. But I utterly fail. You know what I need to get is Zookeeper.
Don't have that one. Do you have Paperboy?
Yes, I do. Mr. Do, Big Doug, Pac-Man, Phoenix, Popeye, Q-Bert, Quicks, Quasar, Rampage, Rastan, R-Type, Rygar, Satan's Hollow, Sinistar, Smash TV.
Oh, wait a second, look at this. Nuv Export is in the repos of Ubuntu, look at that.
Yeah, it's there.
Oh, look at that, I don't even have to compile it anymore. Awesome. Wow, you're laughing. You used to have to compile it yourself.
Remember Xevious?
Yes.
You have Xevious?
Hold on, I'll tell you what I have. Let me see, what do I got? I got Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man. Donkey Kong, no, wait a second.
Donkey Kong Jr.?
No,
Jungle
I don't have Donkey
Hunt.
Kong Jr. No, no,
you don't have Jungle Hunt? That's too loud. I can't play this now. I'm supposed to be doing a show, not screwing around.
You think?
Yeah. Burger Time. I do have Burger Time. I did not get Tron or Pong. I have Space Invaders. We have Centipede. I didn't get Galaxian because I didn't want to repeat like games I have in other formats.
Okay, this is what I got. I got Asteroid Deluxe, Berserk, Buck Rogers, Battlezone, Centipede, Defender, Tron, Frogger, Galaxian, Joust, Missile Command, Miss Pac-Man, Paperboy, Phoenix, Pitfall. I don't think Pitfall works, though. I got Punch-Out, Q-Bert, Rampage, Spy Hunt, Star Wars, Stun Run, Tempest, Vanguard, and Xevious.
What Star Wars is that? Is that the one with the line graphics?
That's where
you fly.
Yeah, the vector graphics.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember that game. I remember playing that game for, like, on my ColecoVision for a couple of hours.
You know, they're making a movie out of Joust, based on the game Joust. I don't understand how they could do that. Yeah, I don't understand how they could do that.
A legitimate
How the hell can you develop a movie based on a stupid video game from 20 years ago, 30 years ago?
You ever watch Tron?
That was a cool movie.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, but the video game derived from Tron, didn't it?
Exactly.
That's true.
You know what, let me ask the movie authority here. Have you heard anything about a movie based on Joust, the video game?
Yeah.
Who's making it? Uwe Boll?
That guy makes the worst freaking movies.
He does. Wow, it just sounds so bogus.
It's idiotic. What the frick, you know? Two ostriches enter. One comes out. Joust, the movie.
There have been other movies that have been made from video games, you know.
They usually suck.
Super Mario Brothers, the movie, remember that?
Oh, yeah. Bob Hoskins.
Bits and pieces.
And John Leguizamo, right?
Was he in that?
I think so.
Mario
was Bob Hoskins.
I have to look it up on IMDb.
Awful. Just terrible.
There was a good spoof trailer released called Tetris the Movie a couple weeks ago. I think it was for April Fool's or around about then, but it was a pretty compelling trailer, and it actually made Tetris look a lot more interesting than it really is. It was like this this post-apocalyptic Orwellian society, and their form of entertainment was like this arena Tetris, where they'd fly these block-shaped ships down, and it was odd. It's a really good. I'm gonna have to see if I can find it. I'm sure there's plenty of links for it. YouTube, Tetris the movie trailer. I believe.
Can't wait to see.
It.
Can't wait to see the trailer for Joust of the movie.
Yay.
All right, I'm gonna post it to YouTube. There we go. And let me see. Joust the movie for real. Wow, it is true. I don't know.
Speed Racer looks interesting.
Yeah, it does. It looks really good. CP Productions have announced that they're working on Joust the movie. You know, Joust. Jousting flying ostriches. From that simple premise, they've announced the film will be Gladiator meets Mad Max, and is the first of many gaming adaptions CP will be bringing to the big screen and turning into comic books. Producer Chris Peters, who did How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, the film is a type of action-packed story that appeals to all four quadrants of the movie-going public, and we are excited to be in the Midway Games business once again.
Sounds like a winner, man.
What was this? Wow. I just can't believe that that's actually real. It sounds like a spoof.
I know. It sounds too ridiculous to be true. And what the sad part is, you could probably actually picture some studio executive, you know, sitting to the pitch and you know, in the meeting and going, yeah. It sounds like it could work.
The plan is to launch a new Joust franchise with a graphic novel which is being penned by Stephen Elliott Altman of DC Comics and Dark Horse Comics and will be based on the Gottlieb screenplay. The film has been given a fast track by CP Productions and should be wrapped up by June 2008. Several A-list directors are already interested in helming the sci-fi action project.
Does it have a budget listed, Dan? $100 million.
You know what? Okay, the wife is sitting here saying she doesn't believe it. But it was this article's from Monday, August 2007. August 27.
Well, if it's on the internet, it must be true.
Everything on the internet is true. So I'm going to look on IMDb, which is where I was supposed to look. But you know what? I have nothing listed on IMDb about it. So... I don't know.
Rotten Tomatoes has an article about it.
What do they say?
Nah, it's the same thing that you said, pretty much. DC Comics graphic novel.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of the Mario Brothers movie, Bob Hoskins was Mario, John Leguizamo was Luigi, Dennis Hopper was King Koopa, Samantha Mathis was Princess Daisy.
Yeah, that was a pretty bad movie.
The wife is lying to herself. Over here saying, she's digging through all the gossip crap about it, trying to find out whether it's true or not. But apparently it is. I don't know. I mean, Joust was a good game, don't get me wrong. I mean, I liked it. I just can't see it being made into a movie.
Yeah, I don't know how you can do 90 minutes on some story on a video game from, you know, 1982.
They're not doing Marble Madness, are they? Oh.
Quick, the movie.
Quick. Yeah, I tried playing Quick the other day, and my wife made me turn it off because she doesn't like the music.
They were supposed to do a Spy Hunter movie, actually, weren't they?
Isn't, like, Spy Hunter just random enough to be so many different movies already made? That's like Knight
James
Rider,
Bond?
Isn't it?
Or James Bond, the old James Bond movies?
Yeah. The only person that liked Knight Rider was Link. He's the only one that
and?
Gave the thumbs up. I'm just saying.
And?
I didn't see it. He was the only
person. I didn't
person
see it.
See, you didn't even watch it yet, did you?
I know. No, I didn't. But he,
well, you should watch it. I thought it was pretty good.
I would like to. I wanted to, but
except for, you know, having the Hofstra in the end, you know, the rest of it was pretty cool.
The Hofstra.
It's been canceled, so I don't know. I don't know. Hey, what happened to our guest Ian Murdoch tonight?
He had to reschedule again.
It's his fault that we had a episode 3 of Windows Crash Radio. So, if anybody ever asks you, Ian Murdoch, he supports Windows now, right? He made us do that.
Windows podcast.
The power of Ballmer compelled him. Because it was funny today, because right after we were talking about doing a Windows Crash video, Trolls gets on the IM and starts talking to me about our guest tonight, and he offered some questions that we should ask him, and I kind of felt bad, but I'm going to keep those questions in mind for the future when we do eventually have him on. But I didn't break it to him that we were doing Windows Crash Radio, so it was
look
surprise
at that, man. This is a beautiful thing, Dan. I just installed Love Export, man. You're absolutely right. It's all there.
It is, isn't it?
Awesome.
It's a really sweet utility. I mean, that's a fantastic job. I like to export all my videos into Windows Media format so I can use it on my Windows Media Player.
Nuv Export does all different formats, man.
It does. It's. You know what? We need a Nuv Export for non-Myth TV related crap.
Well, like Windows Media.
Well, for anything. I mean, you just need to fire up Nuv Export, and it says, okay, what's the video file? What format do you want it in? I guess like some applications do that fairly well, but they're always, you know, trying to get like convert a video file into a different format has always been such a pain in the ass. At least I've thought. Remember like when we were trying to get get an MPEG file that would run on all systems, and the hell we went through to do that?
Yeah.
It's just, oh, man. I blame Pat and his proprietary formats.
It's got to be it. The power of Ballmer compels him.
As always, as it should everybody. As it should everybody. Do we have a song for tonight?
I didn't pick anything.
All right, well, I'll pull something out.
How about the Bruce Service Pack and the Vista Band? You guys see that video, man?
Is that what the group's called?
So wrong.
Is that
Bruce,
what
something like that.
Bruce Service Pack
and
the Vista Band.
You want me to go find it? Hold on a sec.
I think
it's
we
so
have a
bad
link in our... There's a link to it from our forum.
Yeah, it's in our forum.
That was really good, though. I mean,
well,
I got to give
is,
credit. It
Greg on the IRC is saying that he's hoping to get some impressions of Hardy before the show's over, so...
Oh.
All right, guys, what do you think about Hardy?
For me, it's been great. Well, I did three systems initially, my server, my workstation, my laptop. I did two upgrades. They work great. I did a fresh install on my laptop, and that worked great. I did a Mythbuntu upgrade. That was a disaster, man. The base system was fine, you know, like the Ubuntu part, but like the specific MythTV stuff, it was a complete disaster, and I wound up having to install clean from scratch. And once I did that, man, it was golden. It's rocking now. So four systems I've done.
So now, what procedure did you use to upgrade your server? Did you just change like the app sources list and let
you know? That's how I used to do it, but the last couple of upgrades, I followed their directions is it the updater, the package updater program. I use that and it worked great, no problem.
Isn't that a GUI program, though?
No, there's a server version, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the server literally took 10 minutes to do the whole upgrade.
Awesome. How about you, Dan? What do you think?
I did my upgrade 2 weeks ago. I did it before the official release, so I just started running the release candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And, all I did was change every instance of Gutsy to Hardy in my app sources list and did a apt-get, safe upgrade now, and then another system where I did aptitude safe upgrade, whatever it is, and I wish I had something to complain about, or I wish there was a lot of crap I had to go through. Unfortunately, it worked better than the previous upgrades, so I can't complain. All I just did was after it rebooted on the one system, I ran the disk upgrade to clear some stuff up, and it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said again, it's disappointing how smooth it went for me. And it's nice. I mean, I haven't had any problems with it. There was one problem I did have, that's right. I had to remove libmono again, even though I had it removed from all my other systems.
But that was a completely optional thing, right?
Yes. Well, I wish it was an optional thing to install, but somehow it got in there, because I had it removed. But nevertheless,
So you're liking it?
I am. I'm interested to see what you have to say there, Link Boy, because I don't know if you're setting us up for a disaster story or...
Why is it that everybody is always suspicious that I'm setting them up for something, you know? I've only upgraded one system on there, and the reason, I'll tell you why I've only done one so far. I did my laptop over the weekend. It was, it wasn't even over the weekend, it was Friday, okay? So it was the day after the release, I upgraded my laptop, it took like 6 hours to do. Which is why, of course, I have not upgraded any other system. But I wanted to give it, a few days so that I could actually get access to the repositories and not stare at my system upgrading for, the entire day. To that end, even though it was slower than hell because of everybody hammering the hell out of the repositories, the upgrade went completely smooth. Everything rolled right over just like it was supposed to, started right up, and my laptop is running the new version of Ubuntu. I'm digging everything in there except for some reason the KDM stuff is, there's something wonky with that, but it works fine. What the hell? If it's ugly, piss on it, right? Once you get into the system itself, everything runs really well. It seems to run speedy and right along. I'm really digging the new Firefox. That seems
some people hate it. I kind of like it, man.
It that seems to be pretty speedy, and it works well, and it's much better looking, by the way, right? Let's just get that right out in the open. Like, have you guys noticed that it looks
I like it,
like,
man.
The check boxes and all of that stuff and the form submit buttons and shit like that all really, really look a lot better. I mean, they're looking like Opera has a really polished look in that regard, okay? And Firefox is kind of going after that. The one thing I absolutely despise is that my check boxes and radio buttons under the new Firefox, the Firefox Beta 3, Beta 5, or whatever the fuck it is that's in there, when you check those, like, the box goes gray and disappears off your screen until you click somewhere else. And that annoys the shit out of me because I have so much web work that I have to do with, like, check boxes and radio buttons and stuff like that. I'm assuming that, I dug around on some forums and stuff and saw that other people were having this problem, too. At least I hope I didn't. I wasn't hallucinating. And I'm assuming that they'll have that stuff fixed up fairly soon. But,
Wait,
the fact still remains that the new Firefox
checkboxes?
Is way faster. What's that?
What'd you say is wrong with the checkboxes?
All right, if I have check boxes or radio boxes, when I click on a check box or radio box, it just the entire box graphic disappears. And
you
then if I click off the box somewhere, it'll appear back there with the check mark kind of thing. So it's just a little tweaky pain in the ass thing. That's annoying the hell out of me. You know?
And Gorkon
says it's just me. It may just be me, you know?
If that's the case and I do another
upgrade and I find out that it's just me, probably what will happen is I will just do a clean install on my laptop or something.
Hey, have you guys checked out the new VNC viewer, Vinagre?
Is it Vinagre or Vinegar?
I think it's Vinagre.
Is it installed by default?
Yes, it is. On their internet.
Applications, internet. It's not
remote
on my system.
Remote desktop viewer. It's right underneath
Pigeons. Right under Pigeon?
Yeah.
Underneath my Pigeon is Skype and then Sun Java. I don't have...
You don't have remote desktop viewer?
No, I don't. Actually, what is the package?
It's I don't know. It's called Vinagre. Vinagre. It looks like the way they designed it. It kind of looks like VMware. You know, like you have the connect button and everything. But to be honest, I played around with it. I was playing around with it to connect it to my Mythbox. And to be honest, I think I like XVNC Viewer better. It just seems a little more quicker and more responsive than Vinagre.
I'm going to check it out right now, Pat. And if you're lying to me, I'm going to be pissed off. You know what? As a pain in the butt, the only two complaints I have is ever since the new version of Ubuntu came out, updating and installing stuff has been dog-ass slow because there's too many people using the servers.
Oh, yeah.
I do like the new version of Firefox. At first, I was kind of thrown by the history drop-down underneath your, URL window. What's that? What the hell is that called? What is that called? The window where you type in the addresses.
Your address window?
The address bar.
Address
okay,
box.
The address bar. Like, if you drop down the history on that, I was kind of thrown because it's a little bit bigger and bulkier than than the older versions. Like, it would just have, like, the listing, but now it shows the little app icon in the top corner, next in the upper left-hand corner for each listing, and it shows the name of the site, and underneath it is the actual URL that you typed in for it. So, I mean, it's cool. I like it. I've gotten used to it. At first, it just threw me because I didn't expect it to be so big. Some of the extensions I depend on don't work in the new version of Firefox.
Yeah, Sage isn't in there. But that'll change pretty quickly, though, I'm sure.
I hope so. Firebug. Yeah, Firebug is pooched.
Firebug does what? Is that the one that blocks, like, Flash ads, or?
No. Firebug is... it's used for development purposes and is a wonderful utility for debugging JavaScript stuff. And it goes hand-in-hand with the web developer toolbar. You can see it at getfirebug.com. It is a web development software that allows you to just do a whole bunch of different things. Inspect and edit HTML, tweak CSS, visual CSS metrics, monitoring network activity, debugging JavaScript, profiling JavaScript. It's just a really cool tool that is kind of buggy on Firefox 3. It's still under heavy development. So now I install Vinagre. Ah, remote desktop viewer. There it is now. See connect. Let's see what's the server.
The nice thing is it has a built-in screenshot capture function. That's kind of nice. But I think XVNC viewer is just more quicker and more responsive than Vinagre.
Ah, here we go.
What are you connecting to, Dan?
My MythBox. That's how I manage it nowadays most of the time.
You gotta use that. You gotta do a VNC for your MythBox.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm trying to manage it through
the TV, a standard definition TV doesn't cut
it,
man.
It's horrible.
It's just too blurry.
I see what you're saying, though, about it being a little pokey than just VNC Viewer.
Yeah, I like XVNC Viewer better, still.
Yeah. You know, one thing I wanted to bring up, as opposed to last week, there was a delay in getting the show out, and the files weren't run through the standard procedure. I didn't run them through the standard cleanup that we usually do because my system got hosed last week. I had done a couple of system upgrades on Arch, and I had not rebooted in a while. I don't think I did a reboot after any of those upgrades. And when I did, it kind of locked up on me, so I had to hard reboot it, and when I tried to get back into it, it could not mount the root file system because it couldn't find my hard disk. So somehow my CPIO RAM file system got pooched, and try as I might, I spent like an hour and a half trying to fix this, doing different things, eventually booting off of a Slackware CD to try and get it resolved, to no avail. You can read about it on my blog, but long story short, I finally threw in the towel and, as a last-ditch effort, installed Slackware 12.0, and are any of you guys running Slack 12?
Not yet.
No, mine's still at 11, actually, yeah.
Wow. It's just such a beautiful distribution. You know, going and installing Slack, and, I mean, I got to say, everything worked perfectly for me right out of the box. It still is working pretty much perfectly. All my hardware is recognized. Getting stuff installed was fairly easy. Now I did have an issue with Levelator, and that's because it required a specific version of, I think it was libflack or something. I forget what it was, but what I needed to do was upgrade the Slack current, and I did that, and I kind of did the upgrade to Slack Current after I installed Dropline Gnome, and that caused some issues in there with being able to manage Dropline Gnome, because Dropline Gnome doesn't run on Slackware Current. It does, but their installer won't let you do anything under Slackware Current, which is a pain in the ass. So, long story short, it runs perfectly fine now. I got everything working. I love Slackware. I still do. I mean, it's beautiful. I ran some Slack builds. I pulled in some Slack builds. I installed software that way. I installed software when I got lazy instead of doing Slack builds through linuxpackages.net. And I'm happy. Slackware is freaking beautiful.
It's always been good.
New version's coming out soon, isn't it? 12.1?
Yeah, I believe so. It should be released very soon. Very soon.
I'm going to give that a shot on my testing box, man. I'm going to try that on my testing drive, see how it works for me. It's been a while since I played on Slack.
I mean, my hat's off to them. I have never used a distribution that is so simple, so fast, so easy to get installed. I mean, my install took what, 20 minutes of that? And it's just, it's that beautiful. I mean, it's elegant. And it's so flexible, and it puts you completely in control. I just love it. Are you with me?
With you, man.
You're damn right you're with me. And with that, anything else? I mean, I do have a song for us tonight. Anything else we
Looks
want to
like,
talk about?
OpenBSD 4.3 was just released.
OpenBSD or BSD?
BSD. I'm going to try that out, man. Hopefully it works out better.
The Stillman guy, yeah.
Hopefully it works out better than PCBSD on my machine here.
I hope so, too. Give us a review of that. It'd be the BSD's good stuff. Not the BFDs from Richard Stillman. Oh, man. I wonder if that's ever going to come back to bite us in the ass. Theo the Rat,
Stillman.
Developer of the Linux.
The Linux, yeah.
The only thing Linux. We didn't mention was a big-ass audio clocks. You know, I that's one thing I didn't mention last show, was that I was so impressed with the big-ass audio clocks under the new, under the new version of Hardy, that I had to install three different audio clocks under that option there for, what is that? You can put on...
No, Dan, I have
clocks.
No idea what you're talking about.
You can add, like, time zone clocks. Like, let's see, location name. Like if I wanted to see...
Clocks from around the world kind of thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Clock from around the world, Japan. Let's go with Tokyo, Japanese Ground Self-Defense Force. And I hit OK. I get a nice little analog clock that shows me the time. At the Japanese Ground Defense Force. And at this point, it is 11:37 Thursday at the JST. So it's, I have three of them going in my system at work. I am starting to love the big-ass audio clock, analog clock. Woohoo! So, Tokachi, Japanese Ground. What else could you ask for, huh?
Don't know.
Oh, wait. I have that. I got to put in my own place. Let's see. Oh, no. And I got to go see. Got to go beat the kids. I think they're asleep. I miss saying goodnight to them. I wonder if they have one for Yorktown. Probably not. Nope. But I do have, Hampton. Wonder what that's got to be Virginia. Yeah, Virginia Hampton. Cool. Or Newport News. Well, why don't they have Yorktown? Ah, be it as it may. Any last words?
Good night, everybody.
Have a good one, folks. We'll see you next week.
All right.
What song are you going to play?
First, I'm going to find my... Why won't it give me what I want? I can do Norfolk Island. Newport News. There we go. Newport News. Time Zone America, New York. That's such a cool thing. It's 22:39. So it's 10:39. Good stuff. Anyway, show for tonight. Can't talk. artist tonight is All For Me Grog by the Pub Crawlers, off the album Another Night on the Floor. It's under genre acoustic, I guess, but I pulled it off of Punk on PodSafe Audio. Here it is. Any last words, people, before we close it out?
That's it, man.
All right,
thanks for listening.
That's right. Power of the power of Ballmer compels you, baby.
That's right, man.
Have a happy.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, it helps if I plug it helps if I plug it in. Oh, I unplugged it when I plugged my laptop back in. Here we go.
Came ashore from me slumber. I spent all me dough, fucking lasses you don't know. For across the Western Ocean, I did wander. It's all for me grog, me jolly jolly grog. It's all for me beer and tobacco. I spent all me ten on the lasses drinking gin. For across the Western Ocean, I did wander. It's all for me grog, me jolly jolly grog. It's all for me beer and tobacco. I spent all me ten on the lasses drinking gin. For across the Western Ocean, I did wander. It's all for me grog, me jolly jolly grog. It's all done for beer and tobacco. I spent all me ten on the lasses drinking gin. For across the Western Ocean, I did wander.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up. It's over.